Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto from KVRF 89.5 here in the Matsu Valley. RadioFreePalmer.org is our live streaming site. And Mushing Radio, mushingradio.com is our website, Facebook, Twitter, just about everywhere. Tonight we are continuing our Iditarod and Yukon Quest Musher series. We are welcoming Abby West. She is a musher from Two Rivers, Alaska. Abby, how's it going?
Great.
How is the weather up in your neck of the woods?
Oh, it's still hot. It's a little bit cool in the morning, but we still get up to 70 or 80 during the day, and we haven't had rain in a really long time.
You know, I was talking to Hugh Neff over in Tok last night, and he said there's lots of fires over that way. I know you guys had a pretty big fire scare over your way this summer. How is the status of that right now?
Well, the Stewart Creek fire, which was closest to us, is contained now. It has a few little hot spots, I think, but we are safe. There was not a short amount of time where we had to be evacuated, and we were kind of on edge here, but I think things are back to normal here now.
Well, you know, that's good. For anybody, if just a family, I can imagine how traumatic and overwhelming trying to evacuate could be, but just imagine doing that with a pack of sled dogs to get out as quickly as you can and grab everything that you can as quick as you can. Did you guys have to evacuate, or you were just on call to do so?
We were asked to evacuate for a few days. I actually went when they just had a warning because I thought about the logistics of getting everything I had out, and so I decided that I would just go ahead. And I also was planning to go up to the Yukon River, the Yukon Flats, to put together the fish wheel, so I didn't want to have the person watching my house have to worry about evacuating, so I just went ahead. I had a great place to go over at Jody Bailey and Dan Caduce's, so I just brought all the dogs and the goats and the chickens over there and went ahead up to Yukon Flats, and then when we got back, they actually really did ask us to evacuate, so it worked out well.
And everything's good now? Are you back at home and all that?
Oh, yeah, we've been back home for a while now, and you know everything's back to normal.
Very good. So introduce yourself to our audience. Tell us who you are and what you're all about.
My name is Abby West, and I've been mushing for about 15 years. It was a childhood dream that I had. I had a husky when I was a kid, and that kind of inspired me, that and interest in the outdoors and camping and hiking, and I was a competitive downhill skier, so I got this notion when I was quite young, and I just followed my dream, and I came up here to Alaska to follow that dream, and so I've been mushing, and I know some people call me Abby Quest, and I'm really focused on the Yukon Quest, and I would like to win it someday, so that's what we're working towards.
So where did you move up from, and when was that?
Well, I grew up in New Jersey. I actually moved to Alaska from Maine. I was attending the University of Maine there, and that's when I met someone that was coming up here and working on the fish docks in the summer, and so I figured, oh, there's my ticket to Alaska. So I came up for a couple summers and worked on the fish docks and lived in a tent for a couple summers and finally just decided that this is where I was meant to be, so I stayed.
Did you follow the route of a lot of folks that come up to become mushers and work with somebody for a year or two? Did you just start on your own? How did you get started in long-distance mushing?
The fish work ended me up in Homer, so I just found out who the one musher at the time was in Homer, and that was Jack Barry. And so I just showed up at his doorstep one day and said, hey, do you need help? And that was like a dream come true. He was like, okay. So I worked for Jack for 2 years and kind of learned the ropes in the Caribou Hills. Jack was a great teacher. He gave me a bunch of yearlings to train, and I could raise them. And You know, a typical story. I didn't get paid. I actually sometimes hitchhiked to work and everything. I was pretty determined to learn mushing, so it worked out well for me and well for him too. I was pretty ambitious and excited about it. So.
So you said you concentrate mainly on the Yukon Quest, and I definitely want to get into that in a few minutes. But you've also done quite a few other races, including last year's inaugural Top of the World 350. Tell me a little bit about that. I understand that that was a little bit different race than a lot of what people are used to up here in Alaska.
Oh, it was a great race. I actually just emailed Q to make sure the works are in for this year, too, because I would love to do it again. It was a really fun race. It was great for... I had a real young team of dogs there, so just the format made it so it was successful for them in training, and it was just was incredibly beautiful, and we just had the camaraderie on the race was just awesome because, you know, we got to take our time out the Eagle, so of course we had these, you know, camping parties all along the way, and it was just so much fun, and so I can't wait to do it again.
Well, I hope they do that one again this year. I had signed up to do that one myself, but, man, we did not have a drop of snow here in the Matsu Valley until like 2 or 3 days before Christmas, and we were still running around on ATVs well into January. That makes for training pretty tough, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hopefully this crazy summer will equal a really awesome winter for us because I don't really want to have a no-snow year, that's for sure.
Oh, I hear you there 100%. So you moved here from Maine, you worked on the fish docks, you worked for another musher, you know, the typical story of folks moving up to Alaska to chase that dream. When did you start getting serious about this, you know, when you thought, okay, well, I'm going to either run Iditarod or Yukon Quest and really make a name for myself in the sport? What was that kind of over-the-hill hump that got you there to go from what you were doing down into the Homer area to where you're at today?
I kind of only know how to dream big, so even when I was just reading about mushing and wanting to do it, I had my sights set on running at least the Iditarod. I hadn't really heard of the Yukon Quest yet, but as I worked for Jack Barry, he had run the Quest, and so I decided that would be, a good place to start, and then the more I found out about the Quest, I decided that that's really the race that I wanted to focus on. I do want to do the Iditarod, you know, sometime soon. But as soon as I started hearing about mushing, I wanted to go for the big one.
The big one. You know, like you said, dream big. There's nothing wrong with that. I think Norman Vaughn said dream big and dare to fail. That's where a lot of mushers' minds are about 24/7, I think.
Definitely.
So tell us about what you have now in the dog yard. How many dogs, what lines are they from? Do you breed your own? Do you raise them from pups, or what do you do?
I have my own little bloodline here. It's actually not really mine. It's from Jay Caddo from the Yukon Flats area. You know, I did the typical thing in the beginning where you kind of acquire a dog here and acquire a dog there, and I put together a pretty decent team when I finished my first Quest in 2010. But as I was on the trail, you know, I was out there. I had done pretty well with them. I had already got second place in a race with that team. I got ninth in that year. So it wasn't like they weren't a quality team, but I was thinking about it. Did I want to just keep doing pretty good or did I want to win? And so I really decided that I really wanted to win. It was the hardest thing I ever did, but I sold my whole entire dog team to Sonny Lindner, which really helped out the fact that I was selling the whole dog team as I knew they were going to this really great musher and then they would be taken care of and they live right around the corner. And because I had been introduced to these dogs from Jake Hadzo and they're just tough, awesome dogs. And I was like, these are the dogs you have to win with. So we started breeding those dogs about 4 years ago, and so that's what I have now. Every single dog in my team is related, and they're all from that old trapline breed. Actually, Jay ran the race, the Yukon Quest, back in the 90s, and he did really well. He got Rookie of the Year, humanitarian. He got second, I think, in the Copper Basin, and he was just you know, just some guy from the village. And he did it for a while and decided that, you know, maybe racing really wasn't for him. And he gave his dog to his sister, who lived way up on the Salmon River. She lives, you know, a subsistence-style life with, you know, she trapped with them and everything. So that bloodline stayed intact. And then a few years ago, Jay decided that he might want to get those dogs again and start putting them into races. And at that same time is when we met. And I just fell in love with these dogs. They're just so incredible. So we've just been breeding those. And those are those original lines that, you know, his family has been trapping and traveling with for generations.
So for folks that are listening outside and don't know a lot about the different types of sled dogs that there are, you know, you see your typical husky-looking dog, and then, of course, a lot of that hound influence that was very popular years past. What is a trapline dog for folks that don't know? What is their build? Are they short, tall, stocky, long, lean? What are they?
Well, I think that depends on where you're from. But, you know, typically they're hairier because, you know, they're out every day, no matter what the temperature is. Typically they have better feet because, you know, sometimes trappers don't want to deal with booties and foot ointments and things like that. So the dogs that have tougher feet are the ones that keep breeding over and over again. They have a kind of different demeanor to me. They're excited, but they're calmer to me. They just seem more knowing, and they're just super intelligent, especially you're out there, it just seems like they know more about the environment, whereas some of these hound dogs are kind of out of their element a little bit, and, you know, if all these sled dogs have a little bit of that bred into them, you know, not all sled dogs, but quite a few, and that is a totally different personality, and I think that's what actually draws them to me, or draws me to them, is that they're just, they just seem like they just have this knowing. You know, I wish I had a better word for to describe them.
I think that's a great description. And like you said, you know, the houndier type dogs, they do seem to be, especially in long distance and mid distance mushing, they seem to be a little bit out of their element a little bit compared to the more husky type dogs. I don't know if it's just that instinctual thing from, you know, living in the north for generations or what, but man, there is a difference there. Is this type of dog more of a slow, steady type, or are they pretty quick?
Oh, they can be fast too, because, you know, they've been using them for travel for a long time, but they also have races every spring. It's a pretty big deal in the village, and so, you know, of course they want to be successful in that too. So, you know, it's not like they're these, everyone kind of, or people that are in more involved in mushing have this image of a trapline dog to be this huge lumbering dog that can just pull these huge weights, and that's true, but they also have that racier side to them. You know, they can travel and they can get on down the river at a good clip. I wish everyone would just go to a spring carnival at one of these villages, because it's just so cool to watch. It's a big cultural event for them. And it's just amazing to me to see these dogs are knowing, even the people there, there's kids, they have kids races there, and the group 6 to 9-year-olds, you can just put one of those kids that doesn't hardly mush at all on your dog team and have total faith that that dog team is going to make it back around the course. And they're going to race them hard. It's like they have it instinctually in them too.
Very cool stuff. And, you know, that's how the sport of mushing really, really came about. It was those trappers and folks that used their dogs for work. That's what they did for entertainment in the off time. They raced their dogs. And, you know, there was a big deal about that. You know, people were betting against others. And it was, like you said, it was a huge cultural draw for those guys. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think, you know, mushing is just Iditarod and trying to get there and, you know, just plodding away at races. But for many folks, that's how the sport began, was these folks in the villages and how it came about. So let's talk a little bit about the Yukon Quest. We're talking to Abby West today. She is a musher from Two Rivers, Alaska. Abby, you said you ran the Yukon Quest the first time in 2010, right?
Actually, I ran the Quest the first time in 2000.
2000?
And, yeah, I had no business in that race. I have no idea what I was doing. I just look back, and I was surprised I even made it as far as I did. I made it to Dawson City, and the dog team got sick. And, they got sick in Eagle, and I recovered the dog team. But, you know, there was a moment that I was like, this has nothing to do with this dog team. It has to do with my pride, and that's not how you run a dog sled race. So I only made it halfway, but my first year I finished was in 2010. It took me that long to figure out, you know, what am I doing?
Right. So from you know, we've talked to a lot of male mushers that have done the Quest, and that, you know, they give their perspective, but I don't think to this point we've had on somebody, a lady, just to talk primarily about the Quest. Can you tell us what it's like from a woman's perspective? You know, a lot of people think that there's a different style of mushing between the ladies and the guys. What's your opinion of that?
I don't know. It seems like mushing is kind of a sport where we can be on an even playing field. And I used to think that it is true with the athletes that I am, you know, competing against, that sometimes they are more physically strong than I am, but a woman would have a more nurturing sense, a natural nurturing sense. But, you know, the more I meet the mushers that I'm competing against, I don't really know if that's necessarily true. So I suppose there is a difference, except for the whole, you know, peeing on the trail, I guess.
Yeah. I don't remember who we spoke to about that. It may have been Allie Zirkel, I don't know, but we got into a long dialogue. I don't want to put Allie on the spot, but we got into a long dialogue about that in one of the shows last year or so. I would imagine that would be quite difficult to do on a 1,000-mile race. What about the race itself? How do you think it's evolved over the years? You said you were involved in 2000 and, of course, 2010 and in the last couple of years. How do you think that race is evolving? You know, to most folks, it's the little brother to Iditarod, and that's not necessarily the case. I think it's a much tougher race, and most of the guys that run that would say that as well.
Well, I've never run the Iditarod, but everyone tells me that the Yukon Quest is tougher as far as, you know, the elements that you're up against and the checkpoints being far apart and, you know, the amount of mountains you have to climb. But I would say that at this point, the Yukon or the Iditarod definitely is more competitive, as far as, you know, you're in the top 10 of the Yukon Quest, you're a pretty good musher, you're in the top 10 of the Iditarod, you're an amazing musher. I would like to tell you a really honest answer of which is tougher after running the Iditarod someday. But I really, that tough part of the race is what really draws me to the Quest. I really like, you know, being out on the trail in those far distances in between checkpoints. I really like getting out there in those moments that you spend on the trail. You're out camping, and you don't really see a whole lot of people except for other mushers. I really like that about the Quest. I've never run the Iditarod, but it seems like a lot of time in checkpoints.
And a lot more of them. I don't recall how many checkpoints there are in the Iditarod, but there's quite a few. And like you said, much further distances between the two. I know that there are several checkpoints in the Yukon Quest, 90-plus miles. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. almost 220 miles you have to go between Dawson and Pally, and just, and it's so beautiful. It really is. And I'm sure there's, you know, beautiful places on the Iditarod, too. And I think, you know, I haven't run the Iditarod, obviously, but it seems like because the Quest still has this homey feel to it, and just the logistics of having less mushers, you really get to come to a checkpoint, and they really treat you like, you know, kings and queens. They just cater to you, and you eat so well, and, you know, everyone is just, you know, so accommodating. And I think on the Iditarod, just because there's so many mushers, and, you know, it's harder for them to accomplish that.
Exactly. And, of course, that whole brood of volunteers and media and airplanes and everything that follows along, you know, the worldwide spectacle of Iditarod. You know, you mentioned it being tough, and to that, that word means one thing to one person compared to another. What do you think is the toughest part of doing the Yukon Quest? Is it the weather? Is it the time of year? You know, it's a month, almost a month earlier than Iditarod. Is it, what is it exactly that makes it so tough?
Well, I have to admit to you that I kind of have a reputation of being good luck for the weather.
Oh, good.
Every single quest I've run, it has been very, well, I mean, it might have been too warm, but there definitely wasn't any cold temperatures, maybe dipped down to 30 below a night or two, and no big storms, no craziness. So I have a feeling I'm due for the makeup race of all that, and I kind of actually want it in a way. I mean, my dogs, I know, can handle that, and I think they will actually thrive and be able to perform, you know, outperform a lot of other teams if it does get cold and tough like that. I mean, that's what they're used to. So to me, that would be the elements. What I find in my experience is the toughest thing is just the sleep deprivation. And actually last year I didn't have so much of a challenge with that. I don't know if I just got more sleep or if I'm just getting better at it, but it wasn't necessarily, you know, running up a mountain because we train hard for that, and it's not the temperatures because we, you know, our training is much harder. We run in cold temperatures and storms and all that all the time. But just that the sleep deprivation, staying awake, it's just, it's tough.
You know, we talk a lot about that on this show and how each individual musher handles that. Do you have a formula that you would like to share? You know, we've heard everything from the way Lance Mackey has done it in the past, where he turns up the heat and reads by candlelight and that sort of thing, and then of course other folks that stay up days at a time, and other folks that nap time to time. What is your method, at least you found, that works somewhat good?
Are you talking about training for it or actually during the race?
Training for it. You know, it's a thing in and of itself to really get your body in tune to be able to go days on end without any sleep or very little sleep. How do you work that into your schedule, and when do you start? Do you start, you know, at the beginning of training in November, December, or is this something you kind of work on right up towards the race?
Just my lifestyle is a big training event for lack of sleep. I mean, just for example, right now, I work a full-time job, and I need to be there at 6:45 in the morning. It takes me about 45 minutes to drive to work. So if I want to train my dogs in the cool weather, I have to wake up at 3:30, 3:45 in the morning and get my dog team out. And, you know, I have a lot to do. I have a small little farm and my dog team and my job and all these other things. So I usually don't go to bed till 11 o'clock. So I'm really not getting much sleep anyways, and pretty much that's the way I live my life. I always, every conversation I start with one of my parents is, well, I'm burning the candle at both ends right now again.
Do you ever just crash and sleep for 3 or 4 days and say, whew, thank goodness I have a little bit of break? Maybe that's your vacation. I don't know.
After the race, I go to sleep for a while, but I keep going. I don't know if I got it from my dad or what the deal is, but I just, you know, there's always something to do.
Well,
got to be done.
Maybe that's the secret. Just train your body from now until whenever you race, whether it be now or 5 years from now. Just go for 3 or 4 hours a day of sleep. I know as you get older, you need to sleep less, so maybe that's the secret. Abby, I have one final question on Yukon Quest, and then we'll talk about whatever you like. Have you had a chance to run from both sides, leaving from Fairbanks and also leaving from Whitehorse?
I have. Finally, last year I did. So I finished from Fairbanks to Whitehorse twice. And, you know, I'm a veteran, but in my head, I didn't consider myself a veteran until I had done both directions. So finally last year I finished, you know, the other way. And what I felt was that it was tougher on mushers, Fairbanks to Whitehorse, but tougher on dogs, Whitehorse to Fairbanks.
Is that because of the mountain passes there, or is it, you know, just the different terrain all the way over, one way or the other?
I noticed that it's harder to keep your dog team healthy, and you're going to get beat up starting in Fairbanks, you know, because you're crossing those mountains and your team is still strong and fast. There's a lot of glaciers and all kinds of things like that. So it's really difficult on the musher to keep it all together. And then it just seems like you get a lot less sleep, and I don't really know why, the other direction, or from Fairbanks to Whitehorse. It seemed like I got more opportunities to get more sleep from Whitehorse to Fairbanks. And so I was, you know, better off. I didn't get that horrible sleep deprivation. But asking your dogs, you know, 800 miles into a race to climb up the side of a mountain, you know, is just, that's a lot to ask a dog team to do. And I mean, I didn't have any trouble with it, but I just could see, like, wow, these dogs are just amazing. And this is, the trail gets harder. So those dogs are, you know, having to go through more that direction. Whereas the other way, typically it gets, you know, a little easier. The trails are a lot nicer on the Canadian side.
Well, actually, I lied. I have one final question in relation to the Quest. Being an international race, and I don't think we've asked this question to folks before, what happens when you cross the border? Do you have to go through security and all that like you're flying on a plane, or is there just a checkpoint somewhere where they check your passport, or what do they do?
Oh, none of that. Before the race starts, they make sure everybody has their passport in, and then it's pretty crazy as you cross the border in the middle of nowhere. It's just on the 40 Mile River, which is actually one of my favorite spots on the Quest. But it's in the middle of nowhere, and the Canadian Mounties, you know, they make, or the Rangers, they make this kind of cool little, you know, I don't know, monument that says "Welcome to Canada" or "Welcome to Alaska," and that's the whole checkpoint there. So I guess if you really wanted to smuggle something, you might be able to do it that way. I don't think I recommend it.
So if you're going to be a smuggler, I guess you need to train for and sign up for the Yukon Quest. Abby West is our guest today here on Mushing Radio, CosmicCanines.com. The Cosmic and Canine is both a C right there, with just one C. So CosmicCanines, right?
CosmicCanines.
We'll put it on the website, no problems there. But it's only one C for folks that are listening. Abby, what else do you have for us? We have about 3 minutes left, and then I got to ask the question that we ask every musher here on Mushing Radio. Anything else you want to add?
Oh, just we're really looking for sponsors right now. This team, you know, I mentioned that I had bred that. I started breeding them about 3 or 4 years ago. And until now, this group of dogs has just kind of been in training mode in races, and they've actually done quite well already. And this year is the first year that they're at that age where I can really start going for it. And just the difference I see in this team, just starting our little short runs now, is incredible. And I just am so proud of these dogs, and I just can't wait to show them off. And I'm just trying everything I can do, including, you know, getting in shape myself and really making sure that I don't let these dogs down, because they really deserve to be champions. And part of that is, you know, fundraising and making sure they have everything they need. So if anyone wants to come visit the site and check it out, we have a really cool winter planned. I'm going to actually take them back to Yukon Flats. I'm just going to leave and run the trap line. I'm not going to actually be trapping, but just run the trap line with them and go cabin to cabin out in the middle of nowhere, 300 miles from any road. And we're just going to train out there and really get tough together and be ready for these races.
That's cool. So is that the only thing you're doing this year, the Quest and the trap line training, or are you doing other races as well?
Oh, we would really like to do other races. You know, if a miracle happens, I'd run the Iditarod too. I really want to do it. It's just, you know, putting it all together has been difficult. And the Top of the World will do, and maybe something else, you know, we'll see. And I really had a great time on the Kobuk 440 last year, and I'd like to go up there and try to fix a couple of my mistakes and see what they can do this year. So we might do that too.
And that's an entirely different type of mushing in of itself there at the Kobuk 440. Definitely a different time of year, different type of terrain than a lot of other mushers are used to, especially if they're coming here from this part of Alaska. Abby West, cosmiccanines.blogspot.com. That is her website. Anything else you want to add, or can I ask your question?
Go ahead and shoot. Give me the question.
My question is, as always, what is that one piece of advice you can give to the novice musher, whether it be the recreational guy or the guy that already has his U-Haul loaded up and ready to move here tomorrow? What is that one piece of advice you can give that musher?
It's just all about the dogs. I know I sound like Hugh Neff, but I mean, that's what it's all about, is these dogs. I mean, take care of them and they'll take care of you. And they'll always just surprise you and amaze you, and you'll have lots of fun.
Awesome. You know, it is all about the dogs. I think people need to hype up their dogs more. It's not always about the musher. We need to get out there and talk about our dogs as much as we can. You know, introduce the world to them. Tell us who your leaders are, your swing dogs, your puppies, those wheel dogs that nobody ever talks about. It is all about the dogs. Without the dogs, you know, we would just be guys standing on the back of pieces of wood, wouldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, Abby, we are out of time. Thank you very much. I'll definitely shoot over the links when this airs, and you're welcome to post it on your blog or Facebook or wherever you like, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Abby West, Yukon Quest Musher from Two Rivers, Alaska. We'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.